The voice is good. 1 Timothy 4, we're trying to wrap up teaching we started some weeks ago. A pre-believers meeting teaching, where we're looking at responding to the move of the Spirit, right? How to respond to the move of the Spirit. Because the truth is, like I said, I don't know whether it was the last week or the last 2 weeks, but now I said that you can't afford to just teach it. You have to practice it. You can't just be teaching the move of the Spirit or the things of the Spirit. You have to practice. You also cannot just practice. You have to teach it. So both the academic and the practice, they go hand in hand. In some sects, people get to practice the things of the Spirit without being taught. And so, they go all with different kinds of manifestations. I don't call it manifestations. You see someone, doing all sorts, saying all sorts. In fact, I was in one meeting one time. Don't mind me, I was looking for something else. Myself and my friend. So we went to one meeting like that. And the person that was giving a word went to the pastor and locked the pastor. He said, "Hear me." And I was locking the pastor, that was nice. And she is doing that under the guise that is the Spirit. Even if it is the Spirit that is locking the pastor, is the pastor owing this meat money? And she was doing like this with the pastor. Well, the yellow would tell it. Or they had a fight before. Amen. The Spirit of God ministers through our minds. If we define one another, if we define ourselves, he ministers without our minds. But when we come among men, he ministers through our minds. Just like the gospel. The gospel is through your mind. So you cannot claim that you are ministering to the church or to another person and that the Spirit and that your mind is not involved. You don't know what you are doing. No. He ministers through our minds. So, like I said, you can't just give it to academics. Oh, you know Dorima. You know Doria. Right? You know Charisma. What else? Pneumaticos. What else do you know? Yeah? Give me now. What else do you know? You know all the Greek words. You know which one is the gift. You know what is the giving. Every good giving and perfect gift comes from the Father of life. See, you know, when you take that one and you corroborate and you collaborate and you, now you know all of those things, then we say, how about you heal the sick? There's a sick person there. Okay? There's a sick person there. Or you collaborate and corroborate. Can you minister by tongues and interpretation? Say, yeah. You know, when we speak with tongues, it edifies us. When we interpret, it edifies the other. But Paul says, I'd rather have you interpret in the church. I know, bro, you would rather have interpreted. I interpreted. And it's looking. It starts like this. Yes, tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. I know, prophesy. And he starts looking. Prophecy, I can spell it. So you can't have academics without practice. You can't have practice without academics. There are two sides of a coin, right? The moment one side is empty, you don't have a coin. Should I say that again? There are two sides of a coin. The moment one side is empty, you have a fake coin. Alright. So, we are looking at responding to the move of the Spirit. I still have seen nice. Alright, 1 Timothy 4, 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, but rather exercise yourself to godliness. Are you there? Come on, is that where you are? Or you want them to say the Bible on the screen for you? Eh? That's not going to happen. Alright. Then in verse 8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable in the world that now is and that which is to come. And I expect that we all already understand bodily exercise by now, right? The training, gymnasia, somaticos, the training of the things of the body. Now, he's not saying that it doesn't profit. He's telling you that the profiting is not eternal. Right? I had one of my friends, I call it friends, yeah, but belong to our circle, then in Ibadan. And at one time he brought in a stud. So he put a stud earring. And I asked, I said, it fits you, but it doesn't fit the gospel. Then he says, you can't tell me that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us free. And I said, this grace, who taught you? I recall the last time I checked, I was the one that taught you. He's my friend. I was when I brought the grace of Christ and all of that. We are all listening to, what's the name? We are all under some other kind of influence before. I was the one that brought you and the woman. I was the one that brought you Pastor Christopher Kilome. So what are you saying? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Old prophet, young prophet. I'm the old prophet. I didn't go into fight. It's just clear. We are sitting on a block, an uncompleted fence. All these low blocks. I can still remember this. I locked him. I said, who is the old prophet? Because one of us just taught a teaching the last vigil we had about that old prophet and the young prophet. The old prophet that told the young prophet that, come and eat. Forget what God has said. And young prophet and God, yeah. I loved him. I said, are you okay? I didn't say, are you mad? That's what I said. But for the sake of this, why would you say, Abi, they are eating your head? You understand now? You understand now? They are eating on your head. Alright, so, I loved him and all that. But seeing he has translated us. Like, you know, your ring doesn't matter. It doesn't affect faith. It is in the body. Doesn't influence the spirit. I said, check the person I'm telling. You are not telling one guy on the street, I'm the one you are telling that it doesn't affect the spirit. I said it doesn't fit the gospel. Probably he knows better now. Amen. But that's the truth. If someone comes to you preaching the gospel, amen. Now in this part of the world, now you can go to maybe some other countries, and even the pastor is on stores and earrings and all of that. And people don't even care. But if I come and you see earrings, this morning, what will you do? You will listen to this service, but this is the last one, have you? He said, maybe his pastor wants to illustrate on even yoke. The pastor woke up on another, on the wrong side of the bed. Amen? Because he can teach you and not teach the gospel. So, but, you see, my removing of the earrings, not that I had it before, but my not using it, I just give that as an example, that's a very low one. But my not using of earrings will profit, not eternal, even though the profiting can run into eternal. Because if my using of earrings will not allow you to be edified, allow you to be blessed, then my profiting, are you getting what I'm saying? The implication is running into an eternal. Okay, let me say this. Paul says, if eating meat, when we look at 1 Corinthians 8, Abby, is my voice clear? Eh? Alright. That if eating meat will cause your brother to stumble, he said, don't have it. So that means if I eat meat and Paul decides to have backslide because I did something, that means the profiting or the non-profit has run to an internal implication. You get what I said there? So alright. So, Paul says, not your own Paul, the apostle, that what profits is godliness. Say godliness. Which is a word we have looked at, our response to God. Our response to God. our response to God. You know, in chapter 3 of the same book, in 1 Timothy 3, he spoke about our response. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of the Lord, or in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Can we read verse 16 together? Great is the mystery of godliness. Seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received of any good. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of our response to God. And it says, that is what you ought to preach in your churches. Because the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. Verse 15. So, Paul tells us that we have a response in the church, which is godliness. We have a response to give in the church. And I remember on Thursday, I walked you through John chapter 2, right? Right? Was it on Thursday? Where we looked at people buying and selling in the temple, right? Funny enough, I've been preaching that John 2 all weekend. It's fine. Alright. People buying and selling in the temple. And Jesus made scourge of cords. And he sent them out. Abi? And he said, my father's house is called the house of prayer. Right? And not a den of thieves. Matthew 21, 30. Okay. And we said, that means the church has a duty. When we come together, we have a duty of prayer. And we said, prayer there is not just asking. It's not ITO. I think we looked at that on Thursday. We said the word prosuche, right? P-R-S-E-U-C-H-E, right? Which means worship. How we hear and talk to God. So my father's house is the house of prayer. Matthew 21, 12 to 14. So the response that we must have in the church is that which talks and hears from God. Interesting. That which talks to and hears from God. We said that is what the temple is for. And we looked at David's psalm in Psalm 29. So the temple is for our response to God. Again, you need to listen to all these teachings together so that it can make sense. The temple is for our response to God. Don't forget that when Paul was telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, and he says he refused profane and everything, was it an individual thing or a church thing? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not. Say if you put this in remembrance of the saints, you will be a good minister. So, is it an individual thing or a collective thing? Individual, collective, glorious house church. Collective. So that means he's talking about our response. So godliness is among us. It's our response in our gathering. It's also individual, but in this instance, it's in our gathering. And we said one of those responses that he said, apart from exhortation and doctrine, is what? You neglect not the gifts. Abi? We'll look at that much more today. Alright, Psalm 29. We saw this on Thursday already. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calm and discovers the forest. In his temple, what's with your sound? In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. Now, take that one somewhere. In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. Then put this one somewhere. In the church, we have godliness. And that godliness will come by reading, exhortation, doctrine, neglect not the gifts of the Spirit, right? Now put it together. That means His glory will be found in our interactions. God's glory which is the resurrection primarily, will be found in our interactions. In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. Yesterday I was explaining the temple somewhere, and I said, the origin of the temple, listen very well, is Moses. Moses wants Israel to talk to God. Listen to this one. I've taught it before, just reiterating it. Now, Israel would not have God talk to them. They said, Moses, go and hear God. Come to us. Moses will now tell them, okay, now build a tabernacle. In that tabernacle, God will be there, and you can also go in and talk to God. Now, this is boring. I like it. Because that's the academic part. The inspiration part, we talk to one another, we give word. Aha. When they compliment each other, you have the move of the Spirit. Something must bore you. If everything is just doing, you like goosebumps, that's not always the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Aha. Sometimes you feel like, when it's just emotional, it's the Spirit. No. Alright. Well, that. Alright, so, he gave them the tabernacle, but the tabernacle was not stationary. You move the tabernacle around, because they were not in one place. They were going 40 years, right? Right? Uh-huh. So they had to keep moving it. But later on, in 1 Kings 6, Solomon now built a temple that is in one place. The reason for the temple is to have God and man fellowshipping together. The reason for the temple is God and man in one place. Like I always put it, divinity and humanity. So whenever you hear temple, have it in mind somewhere that temple means God and man together. Which is Genesis 1:1, right? Is that Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God made the temple. The temple is heaven and earth. Or tabernacle. Tabernacle now means a moving temple. That makes sense? A temple that you can carry about. Aha. And that was the same word that was used for Jesus in John 1:14. The word became flesh. What's this? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. That is, Jesus is God and man together, but is a moving temple. He is a moving temple. So, of course, temple is that Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Is that the temple? Eh? Alright. The two shall become one flesh. That is the temple. Man will leave father and mother, will cleave to his wife, the two will become one. That is the temple. In the temple, human and God become one. We saw that in Christ. In Christ, God and man became one flesh. That is the temple. Psalm 29 verse 9 again. In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. Now, if you say temple, we say Jesus is that temple. What's the issue? In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. So we say Jesus is that temple. Say Jesus is that temple. Why? Eh? He's God and man in one body. But you know, after the resurrection, the believer is also now that temple, right? I don't have to start explaining that to you, glorious house church. After the resurrection, the believer in Christ is now that temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Verse 19. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I just said 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are joined with the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 2 Corinthians 6. Where Paul was talking about, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Say, for what communion does the body of the Lord or does the temple has with an idol? So again, in the resurrection, the believer is now that temple. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. Ephesians 2:19 to 22. 1 Peter 2:5.
You are built a living stone, a lively stone, a spiritual house. Say spiritual house. So the believer is now a spiritual house. Your body is the temple of the Lord. So Jesus was the temple in the incarnation, but in the resurrection, the believer is also now the temple of the Holy Ghost. In his temple, the people shout glory. So that means in you, or through the believer, we must hear of the glory of God. Again, I'm just speaking by inspiration this morning, because we're preparing for one of the most important meetings of our lives. I'm saying that because 2022 is a different year for us. It's serious. Amen. It's serious. So you must see believers meeting this year differently. Is that clear? Differently. In his temple, the people speak of his glory. So we said, utterance is how we respond to the move of the Spirit. Because the reason why it's called the temple in the first place is that what is inside? Eh? The Spirit is in. Or what did God give to you? Bread? Wine? Eh? What did He give you? He gave you Spirit. So, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost because the Spirit of God dwells in you. David now says, how do you respond to that Spirit? You speak of His glory. In His temple, the people speak glory. Or they say glory. So you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and your response to that will be utterance. So we already looked at all of that, and we said, as we gather from Thursday to Sunday, utterance must be prevalent among us. Listen very well. Before now, before Thursday, from now to Thursday, go and charge yourself up. Charge yourself up to minister in utterance. I really want us to give ourselves to that this morning. Charge yourself up to minister in utterance. Amen. Amen. In Acts 2 verse 1, he says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he says, the people were gathered in one accord in one place. Verse 4, apostles understand that. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. But guess what happened first? They were gathered in one accord. Listen to me. From Thursday to Sunday, we must have one desire. Together as a church. Like I said earlier, it's the meeting of our lives. We must have just one desire, in one accord. And what is always the desire of a believer's meeting? Let me just start with that. What must be in your mind in a believer's meeting? Number one, it's not your problems. Say it's not your problems. I thought you said it's not your problem. I would knock you. I recall, I was in a conference one time, and Pastor Chris Olaika said, say it's not your something. I was and someone else, it's not your, you're not serious. Alright, so, what comes first is not your problem. It's not your, whatever. Want to look at why believers meetings. What is the essence? What is the essence of a believers meeting? Amen. Amen. Because if we are going to be coming together, we need to know why. Since the people gathered in one accord in one place. Go back to Acts 2. Go to Acts 2. That's where we are now. I really want to close now. I'll teach now. We have believers meeting. I'll teach again. Amen. Acts 2. When they were now filled with the Holy Ghost and gave utterance, you know what happened? People came around. And in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and began to teach. So, what you see as the aftermath of a believer's meeting will be the preaching of the gospel. Let me say it again. The primary result of a believer's meeting is more preaching. When you are full of the Holy Ghost and you have given utterance, the next thing is that you will preach more. In Acts 4, when they were full of the Holy Ghost, in verse 31, when they had prayed and the place was shaken and where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with what? Can we read verse 32 to get that? Okay, that's everybody. Open your Bibles. Are you with me this morning at all? Huh? Uh-huh. As for, can we read verse 31 and 32 again? And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 32. Neither of them saw the things that he possessed of his own, but he had all things. Can you see that? They spoke the word of God with boldness, and they now had one heart and one soul. The primary result of every believer's meeting must be to speak God's word with boldness. So listen very well. When we say we have believers meeting Thursday to Sunday, listen very well. What we want from that is God's word in every place. So, I'm saying this so that we can all be in one accord, in one place. The primary result must be the propagation of the gospel. It is the most important result of a believer's meeting. Now, in a believer's meeting, you know what? You demonstrate things of the Spirit. That is beautiful. In a believer's meeting, you get edified, you get better, you get strengthened, you get encouraged, you get comforted. But much more, you get comforted for the gospel. So your desire must be, after believer's meeting, I will be a better minister of the gospel. That must be your desire. Your desire must be, after believer's meeting, I will preach the gospel with much boldness. After believer's meeting, I will never shy away from the supernatural. That must be it. In Acts 13, that believer's meeting that we looked at, Acts 13 verse 1. Alright, in Acts 13 verse 1. Now, there were in the church in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which were brought up in the house of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Can we read verse 2 till verse 5? The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work where I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there unto Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of the Lord in the synagogue of the city. And so, what is the direct result of the Holy Ghost meeting? The mission. Right? The gospel. So every time you have a believer's meeting, don't be deceived that, we are gathering so that a problem I have will be solved. Now, that can happen. Amen? That can happen. It can happen that you are thinking of something that probably was weighing you down and all of that. You had a situation that had to be dissolved and all of that. That can happen in a believer's meeting. Amen? But you see, that's not the reason why we are gathered. The reason why we are gathered is to strengthen ourselves for the gospel. So the result of a believer's meeting will always be more souls. Say more souls. Say more souls. You know, we are ready for that. Amen? We are ready for that. For increase in our work. We are ready for that. You know, this believer's meeting will not lead me the same way. I'll be bolder. I'll be bolder. I'll be a better minister of the gospel. That is the desire. That is the desire. There will be increase in my work. There will be increase in my understanding of God. There will be increase in my fellowship. There will be double. Amen. Say more. More. I will get more. I will receive more. I know I've been serving the Lord, but there is more for me. That is the believer's meeting. So they were gathered. And Paul and Barnabas, more. They prayed. The place was shaking. Then more. Does that make sense? Oh, the 12 gathered, or the 120 gathered, and they were praying, but there is more. 3,000. So, the essence of the believer's meeting is more. More. That is the essence. So, you must not come and you, all you have in mind is, I know many people even do, some people even do air for believer's meeting, which is fine. I think I don't see you guys. You know, you do air, you do buy shoe, and all of that. Which is beautiful. I don't know why he's smiling. Me too, I'll do air. You just see me do Galas or Clichy. Anyone. So I do air. Abby? We do air for people who buy shoes, which is fine. It shows that you value the meeting and all of that. But somewhere, have it in mind that this meeting is for more. Every session is for more. Don't take any session for granted. Don't take any part of the meeting for granted. As we are praying, you can get more. As we are singing, you can receive more. As the word is taught, more. In our gatherings, in our believers' meetings, more. Amen? Yeah. You had one disciple, you had two disciples, you had 10 disciples, but now, there is more. That's what believers meetings are for. To engineer us for more. To prepare us for more. Cell leaders, are you listening to me? For more. More of the harvest. More of the work. Increase. Double. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. Amen. More. That is the essence of believers meeting. So don't get lost. Don't also get overwhelmed. I do this before every special meeting, you know. Don't get overwhelmed with, you are doing protocol. You are doing music team. You are doing technical. Don't be a matter. Amen? Don't get overwhelmed. Some people do protocols to their own disadvantage. You keep, you are following pastor about. Sir, me, I am ready. Me, I am going to receive you. You are doing protocol. Because you can even have a pastor who will not receive. Because everything he has in mind is, I want to just preach. I want to do this. No, you must not be like that. Bible says, while Jesus was teaching, Mary was at his feet. Guess what Martha was doing? In the kitchen. Everybody must eat now. Everybody must eat. If this, I'm not saying you now don't serve at all. Pastor, I'm sorry for this believer's meeting. I just want to receive more. Protocol, remove me from the schedule. Music team, I'm sorry. You see that our purple? I know the way I am. Technical, please. I'm begging the name of God. I came for more. You know, I'm saying you must not be found serving at the expense of receiving. You know what I'm saying? They must be going hand in hand. Imagine in Acts 2, while they were praying, and they were being over, and someone was there, watching everybody's bag. He won't be full of the Holy Ghost. So when they were 3,000 souls, he'd be, what happened? What just happened now? Amen. Amen. You know, so I'm focused. Huh? I'm focused. I'm focused for more. The meeting is mine, in the name of Jesus. Because of that meeting, this city is ours. No, we sang that song earlier, we said, it's our season and it's our time. Amen. All our leaves are green. All our leaves are green. We are fruitful. Amen. That's what believers meeting is engineered for. That's what it's made for. To take us to another level. As individuals in our ministries, as a church, we know what special meetings do for us. Amen. So you focus. Your eyes on the ball. Don't be distracted. Also, don't be distracted by the attendees. You are the one that sees someone that is not praying. You are the one that sees someone that is not jotting down. Focus on your own, amen. See, I remember I attended one believer's meeting one time. And as we were ministering to one another, there was one brother like that, he was just laughing. Like, he was mocking everything. He was just... And you know, there's the way people do, they mock and they think they are mature. You know? And everyone was joking. It was just nice. In his head, he is the Archbishop of the body of Christ. I just turned away from him. In fact, I turned my chair. It's when I'm seeing you that I can be looking at you and beating you. I turned my chair. I will not see you till the end of this meeting. And at the end of the meeting, you will still be where you are. Amen? So don't forget when I tell this. In Acts 2, were there those who came and were mocking the meeting? Huh? Is it? These guys are full of new wine. Who will be drunk by 9 a.m.? What's happening to the so-called Jerusalem people these days? They were mocking. Now, that's going to be very rare in our believers meeting, amen? That's going to be a very... Don't say amen. It's not amen. I'm calling it. No, it's going to be rare, but you can have one or two people who are archbishops of the body of Christ. And he just come around. In fact, there was a time we had, it was a great meeting, we had one pastor come around, and I love that. And after the meeting, he messaged me on Facebook and said, well, that was a beautiful teaching, and all of that, but there's still a lot to improve. I said, you're not the one that will tell me that. There's some touches. Electrician. There are some touches in there. Literally the flow of the spirit. So why are you now here? If you had that flow in your place, why did you come here? You don't come here and tell us what to do. Amen. Well, you know, The truth is, I saw the person in that meeting. I saw his position. Little I said, I was rejoicing. Glory to God. We
thank God for our youth. Who are your youth? Who are your youth? I can't look for your youth in your place. Amen.
But you can't afford to allow those kind of distractions. Peter did not say, people are distracting us. People are distracting us. Let's go to somewhere else. No! No! You came for a purpose. Cloven tongues as of fire sitting upon you. Utterance given to you. Ministry doubled. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 14, did they have the same encounter? Yes. But why would Paul say when your learning comes among you? Right? He said, let's go back. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 13. Therefore, let him that speaks in tongues, let him desire. That word pray there is the word to desire. Let him desire that he may interpret. That is, in the church meetings, you don't just speak in tongues. You must also desire for interpretation. Right? So that's one of our one desire, right? One accord, right? One accord, right? For the gospel. For 25 another, right? Let him desire that he might interpret. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned? Look at your Bible, A1. Verse 16. Else, when you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he doesn't understand what you say? For verily you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Verse 19. Verse 18. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I rather have 5 words in with my understanding, that my voice, by my voice, I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in tongues. Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice, be children, but understanding be men. Can we verse 22 to 25 together? Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come those that are unlearned or unbelievers. But if I prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or that is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus the secret of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down to his face, he worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. Amen. So that's our response. That's our response to distractions and the unlearned. You were defying. He says, when the unlearned comes, you will now switch. You will switch to edify that person. That is our response to that distraction. That makes sense? So, again, we are looking at our response to the move of the Spirit. We said, number one, it will be in utterance. Number two, we will not be distracted. Number three, we are in one accord for the gospel. Don't be distracted. Don't let the unlearned, you know, you have someone in your group, maybe in the group of fives, or in the group of fours, and, you know, just have someone that is just, and everybody speaking in tongues. The group leader is saying, don't stop speaking in tongues. Everybody speak in tongues. And that person just is looking at everybody like this. You can have funny people, right? Amen. Amen. And I say, I see that you're about to take steps. You say, I'm not taking any step. I'm not taking any step. In fact, if I wanted to take before, I'm not taking it again. I say, I sense in my spirit that you should take some days to pray more. Say, who told you that? Say, I sense in my spirit. Say, I sense another thing now. That's not what I want. you know, it's looking at the person and say, you know, chances are high that you might want to look at that person and say, I will leave this one. No. Paul says, you must edify even the unlearned, so that the secret of his heart I made manifest. And it will fall before you, before the Lord, and know that indeed God is in you. So what's our response? Utterance in one accord and edifying the unlearned. Amen. Amen. Can we just speak in tongues this morning? Just a bit. Lord, pray for me.
Thursday to Sunday is the time of my life. So to have a believer's meeting, we all must be in one accord and set out for the same goal. What is the goal again? To preach more, to win more souls, right? So we must all be set up. So from Thursday, see, how does that members? The meeting is for you primarily. If all our, for all ourselves, for all our fellowships, it's for us. We must be set out with the same goal. Keep playing. I didn't stop you. Must be set out for the same goal. One desire. We desire the same thing. And we can also help it. We can rub it off on one another. Rub it off on one another. So you're looking, you're on the lookout for your brother. You're in the same cell. Listen very well. Okay, both of you are in the same cell. You know, after a session, you can walk up to divine. You know, let's edify one another. I was blessed by that teacher. Let's edify one another, because we have the same desire. Ensure that your brother is carried along. One desire. After that meeting, I want. We are going to see it. Amen. We are going to see a massive manifestation of the Spirit of God. After that meeting, we are going to see a massive manifestation of the Spirit of God. In our teachings, in our preaching, in our church, in our assembly. Be ready. From now to Thursday, tell yourself, live or die, sink or swim, go up or go under. And we allow the move of the Spirit through me, towards me, in me, for me. Sink or swim, live or die. I will allow the move of the Spirit. I will give room for the demonstrations of the Spirit. I will raise men full of the Spirit. Watch for the flesh during that meeting. What I say? Watch for the flesh. Every time God is about to do something, the devil too will do something. Every time something is about to change, the devil will do something. So don't be oblivious of strange acts. So someone just comes to you and says, why is Sister Anu acting like this? Sometimes it looks like godly devotion. Oh, why did Bro Pam talk to me like that now? Watch for the flesh. Is that clear? That's not my note. It just came now. Watch for the flesh. It's serious business. Amen. We are going for serious business. Watch for the flesh. Rather than yield to the flesh, give room for the Spirit. Let's be one accord. Let's put Christ first. Let's put Christ first in that meeting for our ministry. See it in your heart. See it in your heart that God wants to use you to be a blessing to the world. And believers' meeting is the genesis of that. Keep speaking in tongues as you are writing. You see it in your heart. You see it in your heart. That Thursday to Sunday is not just another meeting. We don't get over familiar. We don't get over familiar. You know? We don't get casual with it. We don't get casual. I've been to believers' meeting before. It's my church. It's not pastor. No. We recognize what God is doing. Eternity in our hearts. We allow the move of the Spirit. We allow demonstration of the Spirit.
There will be healings. Through us all. There will be healings. There will be convictions. There will be purpose birth. There will be passion refueled by the Spirit of God. There will be increase in our work. We will see impact. These days are ours. We are not bored. Amen. We are not bored. We are not bored. Our hearts will burn in the name of Jesus. Can we just stand up and pray together? As we gather together, in one accord, in one place, we are not over familiar with the word. We are hungry. We are hungry. And our hunger is continuous.